In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are a resurrection people. This is why we proclaim throughout this service of the resurrection that the Lord is indeed risen. On Easter and throughout the Easter season, we stand for prayer, not because we aren't repentant, but because we are forgiven. And so we stand and we proclaim the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. We live in the hope of the resurrection, the knowledge that the power of God transforms us, reverses destinies. We live in the knowledge that it's never too late. In the Lord, there is always hope for new life, new opportunities, transformation, even in the face of death. On Monday, we watched as flames engulfed the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And I couldn't help but be struck by the timing of it. We had just read the Passion story. We had left Jesus in the tomb. We had walked away surrounded by the expectation of death. But we knew that this wasn't the end of the story. We knew that the resurrection was coming. And then it was as if we were being tested or challenged in that knowledge and hope that we have in the Lord when we saw the cathedral burn. Can you watch this burn and know in your heart of hearts that the Lord is victorious, that the resurrection is coming even still? In 2017, an article came out about the cathedral talking about the decay and the deterioration that was going on with the cathedral and had been for so many years. Pieces of the cathedral were literally falling off, and they had erected a tent-like structure out in the backyard where they would put these pieces in the tent in the hope that there would be a restoration coming. Whole gargoyles had fallen off and they had put pipes there in place of them, waiting. There was a group called the Friends of the Cathedral that had formed that were seeking to raise money for the restoration of the cathedral. And they had raised some. And they had just started a month before the fire on this renovation project, but the scale was nothing like the decay and deterioration that had taken place. And then the fire happened. But the main structure remained. They were able to put the fire out in time to save the stained glass windows, to save the majority of the cathedral. They lost the ancient timbers of the wooden roof. And the spire that had been added much later fell, but the rest was saved. The artwork that had been there had been removed for the renovation and wasn't harmed. And the response of the world was to take notice. This cathedral that had been forgotten and neglected, where people hadn't been coming as much for worship other than tourists, now they were remembering. Now they were responding to the call to come back. Hopefully, it will be a call to the world that we will all hear to return to the Lord, to return from the ways of destruction and decay that is pulling on us from the world, return to the Lord to worship Him. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared to embalm the body of Jesus. They had gone to finish that preparation for burial so that they might slow the process of decay. But they expected to find death and to deal with the death that they encountered there. Instead, they got there and the tomb was empty. And an angel said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Why indeed? Luke is telling the story of the dawning of a new creation, the establishment of a new order, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. On Friday, Jesus was crucified on the sixth day, accomplishing the work of redemption. On the seventh day, they rested according to the commandment to rest on the Sabbath. Now it is again the first day of the week, and the power of God is back at work, forming for himself a new creation, a new people for himself, restoring and raising to new life the whole of creation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Sunday was also that particular year, that Sunday was also the day of the first fruits, the celebration of the Feast of First Fruits. And that was the Jewish festival that varies in the way it comes in relative to Passover. But it's a Jewish festival where you bring forward to God as an offering the first fruits of the barley harvest, trusting that the rest of the harvest is coming in and giving thanks to God for the harvest that is to come. So Jesus is himself the first of the harvest of the people of God, the first to rise again in the resurrection. And he is also, as the psalmist said in our psalm today, he is also the gate of righteousness, the gate through which the rest of the resurrection people will come. This is the radical transforming work of the resurrection. What should have ended in death, what should have gone on to decay, has had a reversal of destiny through the power of God in the resurrection to new life, resurrected life. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The angel asks. The Greek indicates that not only is Jesus living, but he is himself the source of life. He is the giver of life. And all this is encompassed in the question, why do you come to look for the giver of life where there is only death? The women, now having experienced that Jesus has rose from the dead, has risen from the dead, now are on fire with the news they have received. They're excited about what's happened, and they go back to tell the 11 disciples, and they don't believe them. They consider it idle tales, utter nonsense. It's no mistake that we're given the names of all these women because those were women that the disciples knew. They weren't some strangers passing through who happened to notice that the stone was rolled away. These were women that the disciples spent day in and day out with. They weren't people who were prone to tell idle tales. And yet what they told was so fantastic, so incredible, that they couldn't believe without seeing it with their own eyes. Even though they had seen Jesus raise others from the dead, they'd seen him raise Lazarus after 4 days in the tomb, they too had heard the words of Jesus saying that these very things would happen, and yet they couldn't believe. The chapter of Luke that we just read, and also the end of his gospel, end with, Jesus appearing to the 11 disciples. Now they see for themselves. Now they can believe because they too have experienced the truth of the resurrection. Only Judas was not there to see him. Not because God had rejected or condemned him, even though we might, but because he had already taken his own life in anguish over what he had done. Judas couldn't believe that forgiveness was possible. We're familiar with the skepticism of the disciples who had to experience the power of the resurrection for themselves to truly believe. It's not until we have encountered the power of the risen Lord in our own lives or in the life of someone that we truly love that we have seen come to the end of their rope. Only then are we able to truly believe in the power of the resurrection. So many struggle with the logic of it all. It's beyond our human reasoning, beyond our human thinking. But it's not only the issue of logic and skepticism. It's also that we tend to think that God couldn't possibly forgive me with the mistakes I've made, the bad decisions I've made, perhaps something evil that I've done. How could I possibly be redeemed, cleansed, and forgiven? Yes, it's okay for everybody else, but me? Sometimes that's the real hurdle to believing in the power of the resurrection. Isaiah 65 speaks of this new creation, this redeeming work of the cross and resurrection to new life in a prophecy over 500 years before Jesus was born. The Lord says, "Behold, I create a new heaven and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind." The Hebrew here for remembered carries with it in its root the understanding that our past memories can rob our hearts of the ability to receive God's love, the ability to receive the forgiveness and redemption that we have through the cross of Jesus Christ, and the ability to experience the truth of the resurrection in our own lives. It robs us of our ability to receive love and to be able to give love with the love of Christ. Those memories can also rob us of our present joy. And yet the power of the resurrection is such that even those memories can be healed. Even the way they rob us can be loosed from us so that we can be free to receive the transforming, uplifting power of the resurrection. For the women at the tomb, their memories had the opposite impact. They remembered the words of Jesus. They remembered that he had said this would happen. So when they experienced the truth of those words being fulfilled, they were filled with joy and rejoicing. The psalmist in our psalm today is doing this very thing, remembering the work that God has done in him. He's praising God for the transforming power that he has experienced in his life. He says, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord." Can you imagine if Judas had not taken his own life, if he had lived, if he had waited and gone to Jesus repentant of his sins, acknowledging his wrong, his mistake, and receive the forgiveness and the new life that only Christ can offer? What a story that would have been. What a witness he would have to tell. Just as the cross is the point of the reversal that changes our destiny as the people of God, it is also the point of reversal that changes individual lives. When we kneel to offer our confession, we are placing those sins on the cross. And when we receive absolution, we are being raised to new life in Christ, to resurrection living, so that we too, who are called by God to witness to the power of the resurrection, can go forth and tell our story of experiencing the fact that Christ is risen, our story of what he has done in our lives, and the hope for the future for those who have yet to believe. We live in the knowledge that he is risen, and it colors everything we see, everything we experience, so that we live as a people of hope, not a people of despair, knowing that nothing is too hard for the Lord who says, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen.